Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfilment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together, under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This is God's word, and he will bless it to us.
Recently, I was listening to a podcast which was interviewing the cyclist Chris Hoy. I'm sure most people have heard of Chris Hoy, but for those who haven't, he was an amazing track cyclist. He won 6 gold medals and 1 silver medal at the Olympics, and is Britain's most decorated Olympian. He was part of Team GB for 16 years, but in 2013, he retired. And in the podcast, he said something interesting, because he said that when he finished cycling, that he had a bit of an identity crisis. Because he had been known as a cyclist and as an Olympian for so long, and now he'd retired, and he was an ex-cyclist and an ex-Olympian, and so he came to a position where he had an identity crisis, and he ended up asking the question, who am I? And he made the interesting comment that our identity is often bound up with what we do, very often work-wise. And when that is taken away through unemployment or through retirement, there can be a bit of an identity crisis. Who am I? And what is my purpose? Now it's these questions which are bound up with one another that we are going to have a look at today. You see, everyone needs a purpose in life. But sometimes we ask the greater question, which is, what is my ultimate purpose? What am I here for? In the early 2000s, a very influential book was published called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. It was a 40-day devotional book asking the question, what on earth am I here for? In the introduction to that book, Rick Warren quotes from Bertrand Russell, a well-known atheist, who says, unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. And that from an atheist. And Warren then goes on to write about a philosophy professor from Illinois called Hugh Moorhead, who wrote to 250 of the world's best known philosophers, scientists, writers and intellectuals. And he asked them the question, what is the meaning of life? In their responses, some offered their best guesses. Some admitted that they just made up a purpose for life. Others were honest enough to say that they were clueless. Some even wrote back to Hugh Moorhead to ask him to tell them if he had discovered the purpose of life. All they could do was speculate. But of course, Christians don't believe in speculation. They believe in revelation. We believe that God has revealed himself to us, revealed himself in his word, and ultimately through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God, and in God, that a purpose for our life is revealed. You see, as Bertrand Russell said, if there is no God, then life is meaningless. But if there is a God, as Christians say there is, then there is purpose. Which brings us to the passage from Ephesians that we looked at today in chapters 1 and 2. Now, the first thing I want us to notice this morning is that our purpose is tied up with God and who God is. You see, so often in life, people are looking within to find themselves, and it's all about self-help. When the bookshops were open, and you went into somewhere like Waterstones or other bookshops, you would see a huge section on self-help. And that's become something really popular in these days. But the Christian view is that our purpose isn't within ourselves. It's all about God. A God who is our creator and our redeemer. God who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. The one who chose us before the creation of the world. The one who predestined us for sonship through Jesus. You see, when you're a Christian, it stops being about me and about my desires and my objectives in life. And it becomes about God. Because we recognize that God is our creator. He is our redeemer, in whom we have forgiveness through Jesus' blood. It is in him that we have riches. You see, so often in life, we make it about us, about our desires, about our gifts, about our talents, about what we want to do. And when life doesn't go our way, as so often it doesn't, then we can become frustrated or bitter. If we see people getting ahead of us in life, getting a promotion that we feel we deserve, then we can wonder why life is not going our way. But the Christian viewpoint goes way beyond us, our desires, our wants, and focuses upon the Lord. Because for the Christian, it is the realization that we are not the center of the universe, which is often where we can put ourselves, because we understand that God has chosen us, he's predestined us, and he has a plan for our life. And that's what verse 11 of our passage is all about. And then in verses 12 and 14, we have a phrase that is repeated, which gives us a great idea as to what our ultimate purpose is. In verse 12, Paul says that we might be for the praise of his glory. The praise of his glory. And Paul uses the same phrase again in verse 14. Now in verse 12, he's referring to the Jews. And in verse 14, he's referring to the Gentiles. But the purpose is the same. You see, when we believe and trust in Jesus, when we understand he is our creator, our redeemer, that he has predestined us, that we are adopted in his family, that he has a plan for our life, then we are to live for the praise of his glory. We are to live for God, not for ourselves. We are to live for his glory and honor and praise. And of course, this is what you find in something like the shorter catechism for the Westminster Confession of Faith, where the very first question, and if you don't know anything about the shorter catechism, I'm sure that a lot of people will know the first question. The first question is, what is the chief end of man? In other words, what is our purpose? And the answer given is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We are to glorify God. That's what we're created for. That is our purpose. You see, so often we can be focused upon our calling in life, our job situation and more. So often we can be so focused upon these things that we lose focus on our primary purpose, which is whether we're at work or at leisure, every day in life, we are called to glorify God, to live for Him, to honour Him, to enjoy Him. You see, God cares more about your character than about your achievements. And actually, that's terribly liberating. Think about Moses. He was called by God when he was 80 years old. To the outside world, he had wasted a lot of his life from a promising beginning. But God used those 40 wilderness years for Moses when he was exiled from Egypt and when he was in Midian looking after sheep. God used those 40 years to prepare his character. And Moses is described in Numbers chapter 12 as the meekest man in all the earth. It was the same with King David. God looked at the heart of this humble shepherd. He didn't look great on the outside, just a young boy of ruddy complexion, not as good as some of his older brothers. And yet God knew his character. Every day, whatever you do, at work or at leisure, your primary purpose is to glorify God. That is what you were created for. Everything else is secondary. Now, how do we do that? Well, we get into God's Word. We discover what He's like. We discover how we are to live out our lives and what God requires from us. And we are to do it all to His glory and praise. As Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord. So the Christian viewpoint is that because God is our Creator and our Redeemer, then we owe Him everything. And our life is not about us. It's all about Him. That is our purpose. And it will change our life. Because suddenly, things in our life that seem like drudgery are about praising the Lord. We wash the dishes to the glory of God. We hang out the washing to the glory of God. We go to school or college or work and we do it to the Lord. What we do, whether we naturally enjoy it or it's a bit of a grind, we do it unto the Lord. We are to be a people who honour the Lord and bring praise to His name. You see, my primary calling is not as minister at West Kilbride Parish Church. My primary calling is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever in whatever I do. And the same is true for all of us. Now, this is all very well, but you might be thinking to yourself, how does this help me think through what my purpose is in terms of what job I should do, or where I should live, or how to discern what God is calling me to do? Which brings us to the few verses that in Ephesians 2 that Marjorie read for us. You see, there we see that we are saved by grace through faith, and therefore we have nothing to boast about in terms of our salvation, because it isn't our works that save us. But in the very next verse, in verse 10, it says this: for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, we are not saved by good works. We are saved by grace. But we are saved to do good works. Works which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's handiwork. In other words, His work of art, His new creation. And good works attest to the reality of our salvation. God has prepared good works in advance for us to do. Now, what I would suggest to you is that often God is more interested in how you live out your life rather than what you do. I believe that for some, God gives a strong call as to what they should be doing and where they should be going in terms of career or calling or vocation. For others, it doesn't seem so obvious, and it can be more difficult to discern. And sometimes we have to pray, to read our Bibles, to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and to use our common sense which God has given us. And as we do so, we go forward in faith. Sometimes it may feel as though we've got it wrong, or we've misheard the Lord. Sometimes we wonder, to begin with, if we've got it right. But we realise later what God was doing. Did Moses, after all, expect to be looking after sheep for 40 years? And yet, the Lord knew what he was doing in Moses' life. It was a time of preparation and character building. And the same may be true for us, that we are going through a time of preparation or a time of character building. And again, God is much more concerned about your character than your achievements. But throughout it all, we're called to do what we do to the Lord, honouring him at all times, even if what we do is not what we feel God is ultimately calling us to do. So this morning, let's firstly realise that our ultimate purpose as Christians is to glorify God. If you're a Christian listening to this today, he is your creator. He is your redeemer. It's in him that your salvation is found. Therefore, you owe him your life because you are a new creation. Your ultimate purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But the second thing, as a Christian, is to understand that God has a plan for your life. He has called you to good works, which he has prepared in advance. And whatever you do, you are to do it honouring him, showing integrity and good character. Sometimes we may not be able to understand what God is calling us to do, or why he's asked us to do a certain thing, or why our circumstances have worked out in a certain way. Sometimes it's only with hindsight that we understand truly what God was doing with us. But at the end of time, our desire is not to show God our exam results, or our achievements, or our work record. At the end of time, our desire is to hear these words from God: "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't know about you, but I want to hear those words. I want to honour God with whatever I do. Every moment, every second, I want to honour the Lord, to glorify his name. Because that is what I was created for. So what about you today? Have you lost sight of what your ultimate purpose is? Do you realise that you've been so focused upon yourself that you've forgotten about the Lord? You see, it's when we honour the Lord, then we see things with different eyes, with different perspective. We're able to live life as it should be lived. Life in all its fullness, because it is to the glory of God, our Heavenly Father. Let's just pray together. Loving Lord God, we thank you for your word to us this day. And we thank you, Lord God, in Ephesians for this passage, especially in chapter 1, where, Lord God, we see the depth of your love for us, where we see that you are our creator and our redeemer, how you have predestined us even before the beginning of time. Lord God, when we understand these great things. We pray that we would understand our own smallness. And so often, Lord God, we can be focused upon ourselves. We can put ourselves at the centre of the universe rather than you, rather than giving you the honour, glory and praise. Lord God, our ultimate purpose is to glorify you, to lift your name high with our thoughts, words, actions, every second, every moment, to live out our lives for your glory, for your praise, to glorify you and enjoy you forever. And loving Lord God, if we're really struggling at this present time, if we don't really know where we should be going, what we should be doing in our life, we pray, Lord God, that as we seek after you in prayer, as we read your word, as we listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the prompting of other Christians around us, as we think about things for ourselves using the common sense you have given us, we pray that you would lead us and you would guide us in the place that you would have us be, and that you would help us to do those good works which you have prepared in advance for us to do. So, loving Lord God, we ask that you would hear all these our prayers this day, for we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.